it and serve the Lord with gladness. Amen? All right on. Well, just before we get into the word, I want to ask Dr. Nicole Zwengel if she would come and just bring us greetings. Nicole attended our church for about a year, and then she moved to BC because she met some handsome young guy and got married, and we haven't seen her since. But anyway, I had the privilege of officiating her wedding last year, October 18th, I believe it was, coming up in a year already. And so Nicole is married, lives in BC, and so Nicole, would you just bring some greetings? And I had the chance to hang out with Joe for a while, so excellent. Why don't you introduce your husband to us?
Thank you, Pastor. Good morning. Good morning, saints of God. It's a privilege to be here. God has been so good to me, and I know he's been great to you as well, as Pastor said. I fellowship here. I see lots of familiar faces, but I also see new faces, and I give God praise for that. I know there's lots of things that are happening in New Hope, but I just want to encourage you all that God is faithful. And regardless of what's happening, if you're going through a transitioning process, but just keep trusting God and holding on to the hands of God, and he will eventually see you through. So I give God praise, as Pastor said. God has answered my prayer. So for the singles, I was so pleased to hear about the singles, because I was single for 19 years before the Lord eventually blessed me with this handsome man here, which I'll introduce in a minute. You know, so singleness is very close to my heart, you know, particularly singleness in the body of Christ. Well, not anymore, so thank God. But I understand the journey and the process. So I give God praise in all things, and I pray that, and in fact, I know that the Lord will bless this initiative that Pastor is moving forward, and that other singles will have the opportunity for God to bless them with their life partner as well. So I give God praise for that. Pastor is very close to myself and my husband, Yoja. Because not only did he officiate our wedding in BC in Prince George, because that's where we live, he also officiated our premarital counseling, which was indeed an eye-opener for me. All these things I should or shouldn't do, I was like, what's going on here? But Pastor has godly wisdom and you know, lots of integrity and spiritual leadership that myself and Yorja embraces. And so we just really give God praise for Pastor and for Debbie, because they're very close friends of ours, and we hold them deep in our heart. So I don't want to take up all the time. I just want to introduce you to my husband, Yorja. My name now is Nicole, and Nicole Zwengel, and this is Yorja Zwengel. And Yorja, perhaps you can say something to the congregation.
Sure, thank you. Nicole stole all my talking points, so I'll be really short. Even though Nicole didn't grow up in this parish, this community, I still thank you for accepting Nicole and harboring Nicole's faith just before she met me. I also thank Pastor Sion for helping us, bringing us together. I thank you, Lord, for Nicole, and Nicole is starting to contribute in a new community in Prince George now. I'm very happy to meet you. I'm happy to visit Edmonton, and we wish you all the best and God's blessing in your transition. Thank you.
Well, we're going to get into God's word for us this morning. And I'm going to ask my wife if she would read out on the screen and ask you to read along together as we read God's word this morning. So would you turn with me to the Gospel according to St. Mark, the second chapter. And we're going to read the first few verses. That's there. I believe we go 1 to 15, I believe it is. And this is a very familiar story, I think, to most, but in light of what is before us, I felt in my heart, impressed upon by the Spirit of God, that this particular passage, Jim, could probably give us some new light. You know, a lot of times we read the scriptures, but until it applies to us, we really don't understand the scriptures. And I think this passage today will provide and shine greater light on us as we embark upon what's ahead of us today. So let's read the Word of God together and we will continue.
A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was laying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and take your mat and walk?' But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him.
Amen. That's a firm God's word. This is my Bible.
It is
the unadulterated,
inspired,
authoritative
word
of God
for my life.
I will read it slowly.
I will read it prayerfully.
I will read it carefully.
I will abide by its
precepts.
I will live by its
principles.
And
I will stand on its promises.
I declare it
in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I do want to preach from the subject this morning. Don't allow what you see to hinder what you believe. Look at your neighbor and say,
neighbor,
don't allow what you see to hinder what you believe. Some people didn't get the first time, so we'll do it again.
Neighbor,
don't allow what you see
to hinder what you believe.
Amen. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Amen. Giving consideration to what's before us as a church, and in speaking to many of you, some of you, the report is not good because you say, "Man, what are we going to do now?" But I want you to know that don't allow what you see to hinder what you believe. If you believe that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that he changes not, then don't allow what you see to hinder what you believe. Amen? You might see a lump on the doctor's medical report, but if you believe that Jesus is the great physician, you can't allow what you see to hinder what you believe. The bank account might be low, but if you believe that God is a way maker, then you have to believe that some way, somehow, he will provide.
Amen?
don't allow what you see to hinder what you believe. I know what they may have said to you, but don't allow what you see to hinder what you believe. This is a very familiar story as a child in Sunday school. I don't know how many times we've gone over it, but you know, the Holy Spirit works in, I won't even say mysterious ways, even though he does work in mysterious ways, but there is something about the Word of God that you can read it 6 years ago and you'll get some things, and you can read it 3 years later and you'll find some new things, and then depending upon where you are in life, the Word of God is always relevant and applicable to your circumstances and your situation. Diane, are you still with me? Amen. And so here we are. I mean, is there anybody in this sanctuary this morning who's never heard the parable or the story about the man who was carried by four friends on a mat? We've all heard it. But I'm going to pull out some things that you might have missed. And hopefully those nuggets can give you some greater insight today. As we read the story, we discover that these four friends, we are going to assume they're friends because they're working together. And we will talk about teamwork, which is something you're going to have to do now in a greater way. And we're going to look at some of the nuggets and the great biblical truths that we find in the text. And we find that Jesus has just come home. History tells us that he's hanging out in Peter's house. And people here heard that Jesus had just come back in town, and they've gathered at Peter's house. And I don't know the condition of these four friends, if they're believers or not, but obviously they take this lame man who we're going to assume they knew somewhat well. And the reason I'm saying that, Ross, is because if I'm trying to help somebody, I will go only so far and leave him alone. So let me give you an illustration. I pulled up in front of my house the other day, and there was a guy parked in front of my house. He couldn't get his car started. And so I like to tinkle with cars. I did not know this fella. And so right away I said, okay, crank the engine. And so we can tell that the engine was turning, the starter was turning, but the engine wasn't firing. And so an engine needs a couple of things. It needs spark, air, and fuel, you know, so to get it to start. So what I recognized that he was not getting any fuel into his ignition system to start the car. So I had the option. I could help him pull apart his fuel pump or his fuel filter, but I didn't know this guy, and so he wasn't a friend of mine, and I wasn't going to spend a whole lot of time doing that, so I just diagnosed that he needs a fuel filter or a fuel pump or a fuel filter. And I said, well, you can go to Canadian Tire and do it. This is what you have to do and get it done. Now, if that was my own son, I'd be going in the garage, bring out the toolbox, and I would be trying to get this problem solved, right? Why? Because I have relationship with him. You know, you will help people to a point, but only so far. And I'm not the only one that does that, right? All right? Right? You help them to a point, right? How many of you would have gone home and gotten your toolbox and fixed the problem? Right? I said, man, I can. This is what I diagnosed. Canadian Tire is just 3 blocks away. All right? Just help yourself. What was that, Fred? So, this is the situation that we see. And here is a man who's got a need. And the text doesn't tell us anything about his family, but you have to ask yourself, where is the crippled man's family? Where are the people who are supposed to be surrounding him and helping him? And we don't see any family members around. Sometimes the burden gets too much for the family to bear. And sometimes they've invested and invested, and sometimes they've given up. But I want to say to you, don't be like the family that is absent, but be like the four friends that are present. Because everybody goes through stuff, and each and every one of us need to have some people around us who can carry us when we can't carry ourselves. Now, the danger with that is that some people want to be carried all the time. And you can't carry them all the time. There has to be a point where you cut the rope and cut the connect umbilical cord, and you allow them to fend for themselves. And people say, well, it's tough love and all of that, but you can't carry a person all the time. There has to be some other way where they can get some help. And so it is nice to have people around you whom you can depend on, but it's also nice to be depended upon when someone else has a need. Some people like to receive all the help, but when you call and ask them for help, the number is not in service. You know, they've always got something booked and you can't get no help, but they expect that when they call you, you should always be available. Hello, somebody. Now, for these four friends, they knew enough that they took it upon themselves to get the crippled man to Jesus. And I think it's a wonderful thing when people recognize that some problems can only be solved by Jesus. Some folks are trying to figure some things out by themselves, and they're frustrated because they keep running into brick wall after brick wall after brick wall, not realizing that this kind needs Jesus. And the quicker you can get to that place, the better off it will be for you. Some things only Jesus can fix. All the money in the world can't fix a broken heart. All the money in the world can't fix some of the spiritual issues that people deal with. Some things you just need Jesus. And so if you are here today and you've been wrestling with an issue that you can't seem to shake, I'm wondering if you will find some people who will help you get a little closer to Jesus, because Jesus can make it all right if you leave it in his hands. For these four friends, they knew enough to take their friend to Jesus, the crippled man to Jesus, but the text said that they saw the crowd. They saw the crowd. The crowd to these four individuals was an obstacle. And I don't know what your obstacle is this morning, but each and every one of us have some obstacles in our way. For the people in our text, it was the crowd. But for others, it could be unforgiveness. That can be an obstacle. It can be resentment. That can be an obstacle. It can be bitterness. That can be an obstacle. It can be marital. It can be financial. It could be emotional. It could be psychological. It could be physical. But each and every one of us have some obstacles this morning that when we look at it, the temptation is to say, I will never be able to get through that crowd, so I might as well just turn around and go home. I want to say to you this morning, don't allow what you see to hinder what you believe. They took the man to Jesus because they believed that Jesus could heal him and give him his legs back. But when they saw the crowd, it was more than they had anticipated. And they could have said, well, old boy, we'll just leave you right there out front, in front of the doorway. Maybe somebody else will take you the rest of the way. They could have dropped him and left. But instead, they stayed with him and they looked for other opportunities to get to Jesus. Can I ask you this morning not to just look at your circumstances with the natural eyes, but to do some creative investing, some creative research, to look at things through the eyes of Jesus, to look at things another way. Try to find another way to get your needs met. Try to find another way to get your prayers answered. Try to find another way to get to Jesus. If the conventional way is not going to work because of the crowd, because of some obstacle, will you be willing to find another way? We've got to find another way. I remember John Redmond, who passed away, who's a gentleman who blessed us with this building, with the funds to purchase this building. And I remember, I don't know if you remember, Fred probably remember, that John's original plan to us was he had some land that he was going to be selling to Qualico Development. And when the land was sold, he was going to take the proceeds from the land and give us a loan to purchase the building. Well, Qualico didn't buy the land, and we had to look at some other option, and I was getting discouraged. And John said, Sion, you got to look at creative financing. You have to look at other ways of getting the money that you need. And so John began to tell me how when he came to Canada, how he would borrow $100 from this bank and then went over to the other bank and borrowed $200 and kept leveraging it back and forth until he went up to $500, then $1,000. Then he said, well, riding a bicycle to work, he was able to buy a car, and then he started investing and doing some of the things that he did. And he says, you got to have creative financing. You can't always look for things the traditional way. And John taught me something, and I want to say to you this morning, New Hope, and as you look before you and what you see may not look that good, but you have to look at creative financing, creative investing, creative team working, and find another way to get to your goal. The goal was to get this man to Jesus, but they had to find another way. Before they could find another way, they had to make up in their minds that they were not going to allow what they see to hinder what they believe, because Jesus is still the healer. Jesus is still the deliverer. Jesus is still the one who can put running in the feet and clapping in the hands. And this man needed Jesus. And so they saw the crowd. They could not avoid the crowd. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, sometimes you just can't avoid the crowd. You might not be able to go through them. You might not be able to go around them. You might not be able to go underneath them. But if God help you, if you have to go over them, go over the crowd. And this is what these four friends did. They went over the crowd. The crowd is always around. The text tells us that Jesus is hanging around in Peter's house. And I want to point something out to you here, that it doesn't matter where or what type of building you worship in. If you have something to offer people, they will find you wherever you are. This was not a synagogue. This was not the great cathedral. This was Peter's house. Peter was a fisherman. But because Jesus was in the house, people came to the house. They didn't care if it was a pretty house or an ugly house. Just as long as Jesus was in the house. New Hope, if you can have a house where the presence of Jesus dwells, people will find you if you have something to offer. But you've got to make sure that Jesus is in the house. I don't think you hear me. Jesus has to be in the house. Nobody cares what the walls look like, whether the toilet worked, whether Peter had any food. That was not of importance. People gathered in the house because Jesus was in the house. And if you make Jesus a part of the house, that house is going to have strength. It's going to have power. It's going to have victory. Miracles are going to take place in that house. You're going to have deliverance in that house. That house is going to be filled with power, not because of the crowd, but because of Jesus Christ. And so the building structure is not important. You may at some point have to sell this building. I don't know. I hope that doesn't happen. But don't get hung up if you have to meet someplace else. What is important is that wherever you meet, Jesus is there. And if you have something to offer people, they will find you. Because people are looking for an answer to their prayers. Whose responsibility is this to make sure that Jesus is in the house? So if you don't come in with him, don't expect to find him in the house. And a lot of folks are sitting in the pews complaining that Jesus is not in the house, but they haven't been with Jesus in years. And still expect to find Jesus in the house and complain because they don't feel anything. Well, if you don't bring him in with you, you're not going to feel anything. You have to carry him with you in the morning, at noon, at Friday night, at midnight when nobody's watching. You have to carry Jesus with you. And Jesus has to be in the house. Let me ask you a question. When these four individuals saw the crowd, I mean, I'm just thinking in my mind, Joseph, if I was one of the four friends and I saw this big crowd, I got to be honest, my natural temptation would have been, partner, you can just have a rest right here. I'm not making my way over there. I'm going to just get out of here and go home. I mean, I've brought you as far as I can bring you. You're on your own now. But what do you think motivated these four friends to keep trying? Love? Well, I love him too, but I'm going to drop them off at the front doors.
Faith.
Determination.
Willpower.
Persistence. Talk to me.
A giving spirit.
Unity. All right. All good words. But I believe, Sister Pearl, that the one thing that kept them going was they left home with a purpose. If you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. But they left home with a purpose, and the purpose was to get this man to Jesus. And they were not going to allow any crowd or any circumstance to persuade them or hinder them from getting to Jesus. And I'm telling you, New Hope, if you're going to move forward, you got to have purpose. Why do you get up in the morning and do what you do? Is it just to pay bills? You got to have a purpose. And when you can fulfill your purpose, come hell or high water, day or night, you can stay focused on your purpose and get to Jesus. You got to have a purpose. What is your purpose? And you know what, friends? The church has lost its purpose. Our purpose is to be effective witnesses and disciples for Jesus Christ. And we have stopped fulfilling our purpose. And that is why a lot of churches this morning have a lot of empty pews, because the people have lost their purpose. So you have to get your purpose back and figure out where you're going with your purpose. And so these four men, I believe, when they saw the crowd, they said, now listen, we have a purpose. And our purpose is to get this man to Jesus. And we're not going to give up until we get him to Jesus. And you notice, in fulfilling their purposes to Eleanor, they were wrestling, but they were still winning. They tried the front door, and it was blocked because of the crowd. They tried the back door, and it was blocked because of the crowd. They looked underneath and couldn't go through the basement walls. And they said, well, the only option we have is to get through the roof. And so they were wrestling, but they're still winning. And I want to tell you that if you continue to fulfill your purpose, you will wrestle, but you will still win. You will wrestle, but you will still have victory. You will wrestle, but you will still come out on top, because you're fulfilling your purpose. And so it all depends upon how you can look at your circumstances. The crowd in our text came primarily because they heard that Jesus would be performing miracles. And so they were there, not necessarily for Jesus, but for the show, for the entertainment. And you said, Pastor, why would you say that? I want you to ask yourself something. When Jesus was being crucified, all the people that he healed, where were they at the cross? Nobody was there. They really weren't interested in Jesus. They were interested in the things that he had to offer. And there are a lot of people today who are not interested in the presence of Jesus, just the things of his hands. And so we treat him like a glorified Santa Claus. And when he doesn't give us what we want, we start whining and complaining. But that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to have an intimate personal relationship with Jesus. And not only call upon him when we've got issues, but call upon him when times are good. I like the fact that somebody says, when I go to Jesus, I don't have to introduce myself. He knows who I am. And so we notice that not everyone in the crowd was there because they were interested in the Word of God. And not everybody in church is there because they're interested in the Word of God. Some people just like being in the crowd. Not everyone was in the crowd because they were interested in Jesus. Not everyone was there because they had an interest in starting a new church. Some people just like being in the crowd, because we noticed that the Pharisees were there, and the teachers of the law were there, and the investigators and the skeptics were in the crowd. They weren't there to support Jesus. They were there to try to trap him in some kind of allegation of misdoings. And so not everybody that's in the church is there for the right reasons. So don't get in a huff and a puff when stuff happens that you don't think should happen, because people are there for different reasons. Are you still with me? Today, there are different types of crowd. But which type let me phrase that differently. I don't want to paint the church with a negative picture or anything, but in my notes, I put here that when I call your crowd, you can shout hallelujah. But I don't know if you will or not. So you'll find in the church, there's a grumbling crowd. There is a rebellious crowd. When I call your crowd, you can say amen. There is a do nothing wrong crowd. there is a meddling crowd. You'll find there is a woe is me crowd. There's a fornicating crowd. I'll be silent on that one. There's a self-righteous crowd. In the church, you'll find an entertaining crowd. Everyone else is wrong except me crowd. There's a misery crowd. There's an excuse crowd. There's a hypocritical crowd. Some of you just qualified yourself. There's a self-centered crowd. If it's not about them, it can't be about nothing else. And so I want to challenge you today that as you look at what's before you, make sure that you're not part of the crowd that is preventing someone from getting to Jesus. People need the Lord. People need help. And they will come to a place where they expect to find help. And what a shame it is that with all the people in the house standing there, you would have thought that somebody would have had enough common sense to say, well, there's a man being carried by four friends. Let's have some human respect for this man who can't walk and make a way for him. But everybody in that crowd was so caught up with their own issue that nobody bothered to create a way for the man who was a little bit worse off. Amen. There's all kinds of crowds around you, but you got to be careful that you're in the right crowd. Yeah. Don't be in a crowd that prevents people from coming to Jesus. Another thing we notice in the text is not only did they see the crowd, but when they decided that they couldn't go through the doors or the windows or the basement, they decided to make a climb. They saw the climb. In fulfilling your purpose, you're going to have to go through some strenuous times. And I just want you to use your imagination with me for a little bit. You think of trying to get a man on a mat with four of you and getting him to a rooftop. That is not going to be an easy situation to deal with. But I want to say to you that in order for them to get to the top of the stairs, they had to get to the top of the stairs on purpose. They had a purpose. They had a destiny, and they were willing to do all that they had to do to get there. They had to work as a team to help the needy. And I want to say it to you, New Hope, if you're going to move forward in togetherness, and if you're going to move forward and have victory as a church, you must come together and work as a team. What needs to happen is that every person needs to carry his own corner. Every person has to carry his own corner. You can't have two guys trying to carry a guy up a roof on a mat. It's not going to work. But when everyone carries their own corner, then we can have success and victory. You've got to have purpose. You've got to work together as a team. Now, in the business side of the church, when you talk about building a team, in order to have to operate as a team, you need two things. Two simple things. You need clear goals and clear communication. If you are married, if you're working in any kind of organization, if you work on any kind of team, if you got people who are communicating but don't have a clear goal, they're not a team. If you got people that have a clear goal but are not communicating, they're not a team. You need clear goal and clear communication. We are going to take this guy to the top of the roof. We're going to do it together. And we're going to do it now. Clear goal, clear communication. In a marriage, you cannot move forward with your partner unless you have clear goals and clear communication. It has to be clear. Because when it's not clear, you end up in trouble. Two things are needed to have teamwork. Clear goal, clear communication. And so, they did the unusual. They were willing to think outside of the box. For them, it was not business as usual. It took ingenuity to think of breaking up the roof to get this man to Jesus. To get to Jesus, they could not go back to where they came from. And some people are always willing to go back when they can't get what they want. I want to say to you that when it looks like it's not going to work out, don't allow what you see to hinder what you believe. They could not go around. They could not go under. They had to take the upward way. And any time you can go up with Jesus, you're moving in the right direction. Do I have any witnesses in the house this morning? Don't let what you see hinder what you believe. Carmen, take the upward way. The upward way is not the easy way. The upward way is going to be a difficult way. But the upward way is the best way. So take the upward way. It wasn't an illegal way. It wasn't the wrong way. It wasn't an ungodly way. But it was their way, and it was the only way that they could see. And they put their minds to the task and stepped out on purpose and fulfilled what God had to do in their lives. Now, number three, not only did they see the climb, but they saw the covering. When they got to the top of the roof, you would think that maybe some of the folks on the inside might have tried to help them break through, but this was not the case. The roof was made of grass and plaster and tiles, sort of a limestone roof. And they broke up part of the roof. Now, this is Peter. And I don't know about you, but I let my mind just begin to wonder. If Jesus was at my house, and there was a crowd of people at my house, and some sick man couldn't come in, and next thing I know, there were some guys on my deck, and then on the roof, trying to drill through one of the vents or something. Now, come on, think about it. Come on, work with me, Fred. How would you be feeling? If this was your roof, how would you be feeling? All right? How would you be feeling if this is... And so here's the point, Niho, that sometimes in order for people to get help, you have to make sacrifices. We want people to get help, but we don't want them to destroy our roofs. We'll get them to Jesus, but don't make no hole in my roof. Don't let it cost me anything. Amen. Keep my stuff intact. But if you're going to help people get to Jesus, it's going to cost you something. Amen. It's going to cost you something. Yeah. It's going to cost you something. It was a cost to the homeowner, because Peter was a fisherman. He wasn't making a lot of money. Now, wouldn't have been real bad. The text doesn't say this, but can you imagine Peter? Now, we know Peter's temperament, okay? He likes to put both his hands and his feet in his mouth at the same time. And he's quick to fly off the handle. You know, I mean, he was a guy that cut off a guy's ear one time. Okay, this is Peter. This is personality. I mean, he can go from 0 to 60 in 2.2. Can you imagine when Peter saw him going through the roof? Now, this is the same Peter who later denied Jesus. So he hadn't really been transformed yet. I mean, this could have been a real knockdown drag out. But thank God that Jesus was in the room. Yeah. And when Jesus is in the room, sometimes anger and frustration becomes diffused because of the presence of Jesus. We want Jesus all around us all the time to help keep us calm and settle our nerves. And this was the cost to Peter, but there was no complaining because he understood the cost that it would be to him. And so Peter said nothing about the cost to his roof. And when it comes to being in the presence of Jesus, sometimes it calls for desperate conditions to take place. You become desperate when you are sick and tired of being sick and tired. And when you're part of a team, it doesn't matter who gets the credit. We noticed that once they began to dig through Peter's house and they made their way down into the presence of Jesus, Jesus never once said to the four men, "Wow, you guys are some amazing friends. I wish I had friends like you." He didn't say nothing to the four friends. He looked at the man on the mat and he says, "Your faith has made you well. Can you serve the Lord when other people get the glory? Can you serve the Lord with all your hearts when other people get the glory?" Because I've been around for 16 years and I've seen some folks. If they don't get the spotlight, if they don't get an appreciation, I got 3 weeks left, so you can't do nothing to me. Okay. If they don't get the glory, if you don't recognize them, it's a hissy fit. Right? But can you serve the Lord and let someone else get the glory? These four friends never complained and said, well, you know, we worked so hard. We carried him to the house. We took him up the roof. And nobody ever showed a presentation on Sunday morning to say thank you for all the help that we did. Jesus said to the man on the mat, your faith has made you well. What did he do but lay on the mat? So all he did was lay around and be carried, probably give him directions. Okay, a little to the left over here. And all of a sudden, your faith has made you well when four people carried him up to the roof. Can you walk away from a situation like that without being bitter and angry about who gets the credit and who gets the glory? Can you serve the Lord with gladness, even if you don't get appreciated? Yeah. Serve Him with gladness, New Hope. Serve Him with gladness. Can I pause it for a second? Over the years, because we as a congregation really didn't have the finances to really go out and hire staff to fill a lot of the positions that we wanted to fill. We always took people who informed us that they had some form of a calling on their lives. And they were had the potential. And I always felt in my heart that I'm a big fan of the underdog. I like to fight for the people that nobody wants to fight for. I want to give somebody an opportunity that in a big church they won't even look at them. And so we've always done that at New Hope. But you know what's sad? In a lot of those cases, when it was time for those people to conclude their ministry, not one of them ever said, Pastor, thank you for the opportunity to serve, even though it didn't work out. A lot of them left bitter and angry. And then you have to wonder, why were they in ministry in the first place? Maybe that's why no one else picked them up. I want to say to you this morning, it's a pleasure for me to tell you that it was a joy to serve you and to serve this church for 16 years. I have grown in ways I would not have grown before. I have no bitterness. I've got no hurt. I just consider God, thank you for using me. There was a lot of smarter people in Bible college that God could have used, but He chose me. And today, I am just grateful that I had an opportunity to serve Him, and He's kept me faithfully. I got no madness in my heart. I got no pain. I am just blessed. And thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity to serve. This is the way it should be. You know, some people say to me, Pastor Seal, well, you've worked so hard, and now somebody else is going to come in and get the glory. I want someone else to come in. I want someone else to come and take it to another level so that it grows so much. That would be a real joy and a reward for me to see it gets to the next level. But in my heart is pure. I'm just blessed and thankful to God because He could have picked a lot of other people. He didn't have to use me. And I'm blessed for the years that I've had to use, to be used by Him. So I thank Him for His faithfulness. I got no issues. And so if someone else comes in and it gets to 3,000 by next year, man, I'm going to come visit you guys. You know? I won't be sitting in the corner going, well, they never support me. Now it's, who has time for that nonsense? You know? It's not about the Lord. Paul says some plant, some water, some reap, different season. New Hope, keep your hearts pure. Keep your hearts pure. Serve the Lord in any way that He's allowed you to serve Him. And when it's over, just thank Him for the opportunity and move on. They got into the house finally when the clay was removed and they were able to let the paralyzed man down to Jesus. And now they can see Jesus. Not that they couldn't see Him before, but now they were a little closer to Him. They were in His immediate presence. And they saw Jesus, and Jesus saw them. Jesus stops preaching when He saw them make their way into the house. I want to pause here for a minute. I want to tell you that God is watching to see your faith. God is watching to see your faith. When Jesus saw that they came through the roof, all of a sudden He stopped in the middle of His sermon. Sermon's done. And He said to the man, your faith. Jesus, Gina, is watching to see your faith. Not anybody else's faith, your faith. Let him see your faith. Let him see your faith. He's watching to see your faith. He's not listening for any excuses that you're going to make. He doesn't want to hear, well, I wanted to, but those people over there, and well, I used to be, and these folks made me mad, and well, you know, I couldn't be bothered. He's looking to see your faith. What is the faith that you're going to demonstrate before God and his people? He wants to see your faith. So let your faith shine through. And so Jesus deals with the man's sin, then his paralytic situation. He said to him, first of all, your sin is forgiven. Now take up your bed and walk. And sometimes in our lives, we're in the condition we're in because it's ongoing and continuous sin in our lives. Now, there's somebody here today that's struggling with alcoholism. There's somebody that's struggling with drug abuse. Somebody struggling with pornography. There's somebody struggling with hate and unforgiveness and bitterness, and the list goes on and on. But I want you to know this morning that if you can get close to Jesus and he can see your sins, he will forgive you of your sins, and that which used to carry you, you can now pick it up and carry it. Because Jesus says to the man, pick up your bed and walk. The mat used to carry the man. Now the man is carrying the mat. And that's the way it's supposed to be. You need to be in control of what used to control you. They came to Jesus. Why come to Jesus? They came to Jesus because Jesus had built a reputation for supernatural miracles. We don't see the kind of miracles we would like to see today. But I don't believe because Jesus has changed. I believe that our faith level has changed. And this is one of the reasons why we don't see the miracles that we want to see. But there was a need to overcome paralysis. And I don't know what your need is this morning, but paralysis took away this man's ability to walk. Paralysis took away his freedom to run. Paralysis took away his mobility. Paralysis left him paralyzed. This paralytic had come, had some relatives in the church today where we've got some issues that have left us paralyzed. But I want to say to you today, New Hope, that I don't know what your circumstances are, but if you've got something that is paralyzing you, some fear, some phobia, some situation, I dare you to come to Jesus this morning. I'm glad that I've had an opportunity to serve him with my whole heart. I'm glad that many years ago he called me to serve him. I have no regrets. I got no disappointments. I'm just blessed that I had an opportunity to serve. And so I want to say to you this morning that don't allow what you see to hinder what you believe. Many years ago I believed that Jesus was a highway maker. Today I still believe he can make a way out of no way. Many years ago I believed that he would be a lawyer in a courtroom. Today I still believe that he's a lawyer in a courtroom. Many years ago I believed that he'd be a doctor in a sick room. Today I still believe he's the great physician. Many years ago I believed Jesus can lift you up and turn you around. Today I still believe he can lift you up, turn you around, and plant your feet on solid ground. You don't know who I'm talking about this morning. The situation might look a little bleak, but don't allow what you see to hinder what you believe. Because God specializes in things impossible. What may look impossible to you is possible with God. And all you've got to do is keep holding on to God's unchanging hands. And keep your hands in God's hands. And say, where he leads me, I will follow. I decided to follow Jesus. I've made up in my mind, no turning back. No turning back. The world behind me. The cross before me. I've got Jesus on my mind. Where he leads me, I will follow. I believe that he will take me to higher heights and newer levels of maturity and development. So don't allow what you see to hinder what you believe. I believe that Jesus this morning wants to touch somebody. There's somebody here sitting with paralysis, spiritual paralysis. You used to sing, but you don't sing God's songs no more. You used to preach, but you don't preach no more. You used to prophesy, but you stopped prophesying because somebody looked at you a little crossways and you become spiritually paralyzed. But Jesus wants to say to you this morning, get up, your sins have been forgiven. Pick up your bed and walk like you never walked before. Because he can put walking in our feet. He can put clapping in our hands. He can put joy deep down in our souls. If you just call on Jesus and have somebody who can help you get close to Jesus, I know he will make a way out of no way. I'm not telling you what I heard. I'm telling you what I know. That God specializes in making the way possible. He specializes in opening up closed doors. He specializes in giving victory. He specializes in deliverance. You just got to try him for yourself sometimes and see where God will lead you. Don't allow what you see to hinder what you believe. It may look bleak, but it's not going to end that way. God can make a way out. He's able. He's able. He's able. He's able. Do you know that he's able? Do you know that he's able? 100 years ago he was able. Today he's still able. He's still able. Don't allow what you see to hinder what you believe. He'll make a way. God will make a way. Just get close to Jesus. And if you can't get there by yourself, find 4 people to help carry you. Don't make no excuses and say, well, I got nobody to carry me. Find 4 friends who can pick up their corner of responsibility, and the 5 of you get to Jesus. Find some people that can help you get to Jesus. Don't allow what you see to hinder what you believe. I believe that Jesus told Peter, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And I believe Jesus is still building his church. And when I think of building, I'm thinking of multiplication, not subtraction. So I don't want you to be walking around here thinking about, you know, we don't know what we're going to do. We ain't got no money. Get close to your covenant partner. He's got the resources. Just show the faith. And do you know what? This is all God wanted from us. Even in the area of tithing, and I'm not going to preach on tithing today. Tithing is a walk of faith. The man who carried that friend up the roof was a walk of faith. And he's looking for people who are willing to walk in faith and not in excuses. Can you walk in faith today? Can you walk in faith? Don't allow what you see to hinder what you believe. When the 4 friends saw Jesus, they could have turned around and go back home. But they said, we believe that this man can solve our problem. And they did everything they could to get to Jesus. Do everything you can to get to Jesus. Don't allow what you see to hinder what you believe. God bless you. God bless you. There may be someone here this morning who is struggling by what they're seeing. Could be in a marriage situation. Could be some personal need. And what you're seeing in the natural eyes does not look good. But on the inside you believe that Jesus can fix it. Let's join together in prayer. Join me, if this is you, join me at the altar. We will agree in prayer. The altar ministry team can come. And let's agree that you're not going to look at what you can see with the natural eyes, but you're going to ask God to use you through your spiritual eyes. That he will lead you and guide you to do whatever it is he wants you to do. Some of you might have to go through some roots. Have to bear some strain, some difficulties. But regardless of what you're under, what your crowd is, what